going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Chiefs taking Josh Simmons at 32. Or I wasn't going to say 31. I guess it was 32 after the trade with the Philadelphia Eagles. I certainly don't hate the pick. Cody doesn't, but there's risk involved, no doubt.
I'm scared of it. Yeah.
Jay Binkley joins us less than 12 hours or so later, whatever, Bink. One, did you sleep last night? And two, are you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Yeah, I went back and rewatched the draft because, you know, you're sitting there. Thinking about next pick. Go back and kind of watch it. You can sit and kind of see what they're saying about different guys and stuff. So I went back and watched it. And no, I'm right there where I was yesterday. That is not a pick I would have made.
You said you rewatched the draft. Hold on. You got home at what, midnight? You rewatched, like, the Chiefs portion? Or you went, okay.
No, I pretty much watched most of it. And then I went on with Fesco and Dusty this morning.
So why do you hate it? What's the thing? Give me the three reasons you hate it the most.
Patellar tendon injuries. I mean, people act like this is an ACL. This can be worse than the ACL. This is not a common injury in the NFL. It is something you have to wait on. And I don't think the Chiefs are in a position to, quote, redshirt a player for this season. We all saw the Super Bowl. We all know what happened. We know this window is now. And yes, in 3 and 4 years, you have your tackle of the future, yeah. But are you going to have Kelce? Are you going to have others on this team? They're going to have to make a decision about whether to sign or not. And you don't know, because the NFL, man, it's one day you fall off the cliff. You can't always predict for the future. You have to play in the now. I just thought there's other better choices. I do like the fact they got the fifth from the Eagles. That was a con job right there. That was awesome by Veach doing that to the self-acclaimed best out there, Howie Roseman. That was awesome what Veach did. But no, not wild about it. I mean, here's the thing, man. So this guy plays at San Diego State. It was a right tackle. He transferred to Ohio State. He's pretty good last year, or better than good. But this year there were 6 games. He gets hurt in the 6th game. He's hurt in October. And all these people out there saying, oh, I love Josh Simmons. They're sitting at a water cooler. But, oh, man, I love this Josh Simmons pick. Really? Because guess what? He didn't play in the national title game. He didn't play in the playoffs. He didn't play down the stretch for a team that won the national title. Half these people couldn't even tell you what number he wore at Ohio State. And to say he's the best out there and all this, come on, man. I just think there's usury out there. The tackle from Minnesota, the Ruskin High School kid, if that's the direction you were going, I want something more surefire. Now, yeah, I think Juwan Taylor has to be on notice with this pick, even though that's a right tackle move, because it depends on how Jalen Moore works out or not. That is interesting. Also, the arm length. I mean, we could talk to her blue in the face in the arm length, right, and oh, you're a geek for looking at arm length, but you know what? They look at it, and Andy Reid looks at it. He has never drafted a lineman with shorter than 34 1/4 inch arms. He just did.
Right.
Jalen Moore also less than 34-inch arms. It's a big reason why they hesitated to move Joe Tooney out to tackle, because he had 32 1/4 inch arms.
So I hear you on the injury thing. I think we both don't totally disagree. Like, that's the number one question with this pick is
it's a huge question.
Yeah. The faith that the Chiefs have in their medical staff. And we're going to find out if they're correct. They clearly are banking that they have ultimate confidence that he's going to be good to go. I'll disagree with you on one point though, about the redshirt thing. I actually think up until 48 hours ago, Bank, nobody was really even considering Joshua Simmons as ready for training camp. That started in the last 24, 48 hours. I don't know, from his agent. And then you have the Chiefs last night saying Andy Reid, quote, he'll be definitely ready for training camp. That part of it is interesting. I'm still skeptical on that, but I'll be honest. Sure. I think they can afford for him to redshirt. I actually do believe that's fine because they have one more year of Juwan Taylor and then Jalen Moore. We're going to find out if he can play left tackle. And if he can't, then he's going to be the right tackle, in my opinion, in 2026.
And you do get that fifth-year option, so that part's good on it. But the Chiefs are redshirt guys in the past. I mean, Kato Passanio was a redshirt guy. Now, clearly, this is a first-rounder. I don't think you want a redshirt, a first-rounder, to be honest with you. Yes, he would have been drafted in the top 10. He was left tackle one at the beginning of the season. He's that good. He was that good of a player, left tackle one. But the bottom line is, and I know I throw it out there, 31 other teams pass on him. Well, they really did. But of the teams that took offensive linemen, they didn't go him. There's a reason. Other teams aren't that dumb. Yeah, there are some dumb teams out there, but not all of them. This guy almost slid out of the first round. And that's kind of a, really? Do we really need to do this? And the fact, he was gone. He didn't play down the stretch, didn't play in the playoffs.
Right, we know.
The title game. And people forget that. You know, I think because his dad played in Major League Baseball that all of a sudden we think the guy's going to be a pro.
I didn't know that, so that had no bearing on my – look, I'm admitting it's incredibly high risk, Bank. I'm not even arguing that point, but I think you're underestimating how stupid teams are. First, the top 10 teams were never going to take Simmons. That was never going to make any sense. Multiple quarterbacks outside of that. All right, we're down with 20 teams. At least half of those are run by idiots. At least.
There's no guarantee. I mean, there was a ton of people selling themselves on Clyde Edwards-Helaire the next day.
Yeah, no, I don't think people are saying it's 100% going to work out, Bank. I mean, I think there's a lot of risk, but also a very high ceiling what Josh Simmons.
Saying.
How much is it, real quick, we've had you on for obviously for the last couple of months off and on. You guys have been doing the great work with Character Concerns. I heard your live reaction. I heard Chris's live reaction. Luther Burden was on the board there.
Yeah.
How much is the dislike of this pick, you truly thinking there was no way they were going to take him, and also you guys both desperately wanted Luther Burden?
Well, I really didn't think they'd take Simmons. Again, there was other offensive linemen there I would have considered. But, yeah, Burden is a guy I would have considered because, yeah, I do like Kyle Williams a ton, Ty Felton, like Royals, like Cody likes. There's a bunch of receivers, Almanor from Stanford. I really like a lot of these receivers. But Burden is the best slot receiver in this draft. And he's going to make a team very happy. Just watch the game film. Like, it's enough about reading expert picks. Don't forget, all these clowns on ESPN were trashing the Mahomes pick. Don't forget, Shannon Sharp, all of them were just trashing the Mahomes pick. It's never going to work out. Deshaun Watson should have been the guy. And you know, a lot of fans said the same thing. They really did. So you can't always go by what they say. But, you know, I might have gone a different direction of offensive line or Luther Burden. I specifically would have gone Luther Burden in this situation. We had this, you know, we do the mocks and all that. We get to that point, oh, man, Luther Burden's still on the clock. What do we do? We had to make the decision and take him. You heard Mahomes yesterday talking about throwing the ball downfield and spreading it out. Andy Reid's talking about going downfield. They're talking about putting points on the barrel. Well, you're not going to do that by redshirting your tackle. You're not going to do it. To do it, you need quality wide receivers. Then don't give me they have Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice and all this nonsense. Because guess what? They both got hurt early in the season. You didn't have either.
All right, Bink. We appreciate the time.
I was going to ask him one more question.
Oh, no, sorry. Who do you want them to take today? Yeah, How about that?
What do you want to have happen tonight so we don't have you on Monday's show upset about their next couple picks?
Who would make you happy tonight?
Well, the guy that I think Alex Golden likes the best, Dylan Sampson. I mean, I think we're lockstep in that one, Golden.
I do like that pick. I'd be very, very happy.
Obviously, Kyle Williams, a wide receiver I like. Ty Felton, kind of that'll be more of a Saturday pick. But as far as tonight, maybe a Kyle Williams in that direction. Joshua Farmer, one of the defensive tackles I really like out of Florida State. Longest arms in the draft, even though he's a defensive lineman. But it does still matter. But he's Joshua Farmer for sure as well. But the second and third round are awesome. I mean, tonight's a great night. I mean, the board resets and all that. Hey, let me just put it this way, Alex. One thing. Like a Corvette Z06. What do they run for? $135,000?
I don't have any idea. Who knows that?
Go ahead. Keep going. Keep going. I'm with you.
Well, the Corvette Z06, that is a prime car, man. Uh-huh. You know, Josh Simmons was a prime tackle. You know what happens when you drive that Corvette off the lot and you get in a big-time wreck? Because the patellar injury is not an easy injury. That's a big-time wreck. Where does the value of that car go, Alex?
Yeah, but the difference is
it's a little more risky to buy that Z06 knowing it could crap on you at any point.
I get where you're going, but I actually think the example would be that this Corvette already wrecked, and now it's fixed, and I'm getting a better deal. It already fixed. Lost its value.
I didn't have to pay MSRP. I got it for the used car price.
I have the Carfax report on Joshua Simmons, and they fixed it, and I'm getting it way cheaper. I'm not buying it at the same price.
How do you know it's fixed? The only
that's the risk, but I'm getting a lot cheaper.
25 pounds gold.
There's a chance.
I can do that when I
the engine might
the
knock in a few months. I don't know.
There's also a chance that for 5 to 7 years, that baby's running smooth and I got it cheap.
You know what? And there's a chance the wheels fall off by independent.
All right, Vink. Appreciate it, man. Get some rest.
All right, guys.
All right. That's Jay Binkley. I think we overestimate, like, they'd be like, 32 teams passed on him. All right, that's always kind of a misnomer in me. 31, right? 31 teams passed on him. First off, there are, let's just agree, 10 to 15 teams that already have their left tackle. They weren't taking a left tackle on the first. We agree? Right?
Yeah.
And then another three teams or two teams who took a starting quarterback. All right, so now I'm up to 17 teams. And then of the remaining 13 teams who didn't take him, again, half of them are idiots. So realistically, about six teams decided, whoever took the Seahawks when they took Zabel. They decided not to take the risk. A couple of others decided not to. Whoever took, I don't know. They decided not to take the risk. I don't think 31 teams decided Simmons was no good. He was going to go number one. The whole thing comes down to, and we'll talk more about it here in the Chiefs Red Half Hour, but just like, it's a risk. I'm not
for
even pretending
sure.
Like, he's right.
No doubt.
I might get lemon lawed on this damn thing and get screwed. They just tell me, give me the solution, I guess, if you're like a Chiefs fan that's hesitant about how you solve left tackle easily. And I don't have it unless take a big chance.
They've had five different starting left tackles and five Super Bowls.
Yeah, it's tough.
And that is enough to take the risk here. And yeah, there's risk involved. Andy Reid has had Rick Burkholder as his team trainer since his Philly days. He's banking on him being correct. We're gonna find out. It's a big risk, but this is not a first time head coach with a brand new medical staff. They believe that when they brought him back in, there's enough there to see that he's going to be able to fully recover. Now, I am skeptical that he's good to go in training camp in week one, and here we go.
Yeah.
My mind is more on, all right, 2026. Truly, whatever they get in 2025, I'm viewing as gravy. I'm not basing failure or success on 2025 for this.
It's just weird. I generally kind of hate. I'm with Binkley. Most, you know this. You've been on the show a long time. I kind of hate redshirting first round picks. First round picks should play. Like, they should contribute to the team right now this year. That doesn't mean they have to be a starter, but they should be rotational defensive linemen. They should be wide receivers, running backs who contribute. This is the only position. This is the only player in the first round I would have entertained this with, and that's what it is. Last night, by the way, this was not the Chiefs taking Simmons at 32 was not a surprise. There were several surprises. Yeah. We got to get to Drew in a minute, who did classic fan stuff last night at like 11 o'clock at night. He must have been watching until 3 in the morning. He didn't even set an alarm. He was late to work today. Drew couldn't even make it in on time. He was so excited about Shamar Stewart. So we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
We're the two
My
biggest.
Goodness.
Travis Hunter. The Jags taking a shot at Travis Hunter and trading up to two. And then, I'll be honest, the dumbest decision made in the entire first round, not Simmons as Bink would make you think, the dumbest decision made in the first round, which was the Falcons giving up a first round pick next year just to sneak back into the first for James Pierce Jr. The Hunter one is the most fascinating one because if you're willing to give that much up in the trade hall, then you are very serious about letting Travis Hunter play both ways, which is the thing that interests us all.
You think you're getting a generational player. That's what the Jags think. They believe they're getting a generational player. Otherwise, you don't make that trade up. And you've got to let him have the ability, at least in the early portion of his career, to be a factor on both sides of the ball. And I think for Jacksonville, first-year head coach, you're looking to find a dynamic weapon, potentially solves two issues for you. And I don't know. Has Travis Hunter said Duval yet or anything? Have we got? Is he better or worse than Liam Cohen?
Duval.
He did say it?
He, oh, oh, yeah. Yeah.
He did he say it weird?
Duval.
I don't think it was that weird.
No.
Let me see if I can find it to roll in. I think he appeared on.
That's one of those trades where
post-draft presser when he was introduced to the media to answer some questions.
For that pick to be worth it, he has to, maybe he doesn't have to be generational, but he has to be one of the top 20 players in the league within in about 3 years, right?
What's
don't you
weird
think?
Is, though, if you play both ways, what does that mean? Because like I heard Mac and somebody else on the morning show, they're both saying he's going to be one of the biggest busts in NFL history. I don't agree with that. I think he's a really talented player. But if, let's just say, what if he's a corner two? He's Christian Fulton level corner. And he's also a 915-yard wide receiver. Does that count? Or does he have to be a star at one of them for the odds? I get two positions for one pick. Right. That seems pretty. So I get a corner, number two corner and a number two wide receiver. I feel like that qualifies as working.
I think, though, as his career goes on.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're all guessing here. I mean, as his career goes on, let's say second contract, right? Is he still playing both positions when he's 29 years old? I don't know. I think the first few years in his career, he plays both and see where it goes. But if he all of a sudden, let's say he just clearly way better at wide receiver 3 years from now.
He was a better wide receiver in college. That was always a crazy part about the corner stuff.
If he's good enough to be a top 20 wide receiver and he's an average corner, when he's 29, is he still going to play corner? I guess is what I'm asking. I don't know. The James Pierce trade up, you know, I like James Pierce Jr. The Rams getting a future first round pick, though. For the Falcons. Now, the Falcons moved up from the 40s to get to 25 or whatever it was, 26, maybe, something like that. That's you got to move up a lot. It's going to cost quite a bit, but for the Rams, that's a great trade. You get a future first-round pick.
I hate to give him credit. Mike Florio had the best tweet of the night of the whole thing.
What did he say?
He said, in a two-year span, Les Snead went from F them picks to F them picks. he's gone.
I was
like, you know what? God, that is the best way to describe it.
It's
but
true.
You should honestly, this is the Les Snead is doing it the right way. When you are in a win now window in which you can buy yourself a Super Bowl and you were successful at doing it, trading away your picks doesn't hurt so bad, Gold. But when you know Stafford is getting older and you're gonna need to reconstruct this roster a little bit, getting a first round pick out of the Falcons to trade back in. That was the best move of the night. That was the single best trade of the night out of any team on the positive or negative. He got the best deal out of anyone. He had to go the furthest down, but that was the best deal, no doubt.
And the Falcons got two edge rushers in the draft, though. So I'm not saying James Pierce is not going to be good, but the Falcons gave up quite a bit in order to get him. Travis Hunter did say,
Duval!
His is way better than Liam
Cohen. It's still weird, though.
In the beginning?
Duval!
But some of that's just his voice. Some of that's just his voice. Like that's just his voice.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
I'm just saying, I feel like they should get a new, my official vote for the Jags is they should say something else besides Duval.
That's Duval County. I think the whole thing works. It's just Liam Cohen made it very awkward, but I think the whole Duval thing works just fine.
Yeah, can we briefly just about the county that they reside
can
in.
We briefly discuss your night last night as the Cincinnati Bengals were on the clock. First, you were booed inside the entire bar.
Loudly booed.
Booed inside the entire bar. And your initial reaction to the Cincinnati Bengals selection was not that of one you enjoyed. You did not, you on air, to my understanding, said you did not want that player taken by them.
And then minutes later, they draft him. You were all upset. You came over to us and said, you know, they're talking about his broad jump and this is good.
Cincinnati already did this with a player with high upside and it failed miserably. I don't know if you said that, but you said it wasn't working.
It is currently failing right now.
Okay.
As a matter of
then
fact.
I want to get the right time on this to see how quickly. So that was that. What time was that Bengals pick, do you think?
9:15.
At 10:27, you sent a text in our group chat.
Mm.
And I can read this. Not a bad text. I'll read as it said. Got home, watched 20 minutes of Shamar Stewart stuff. I actually like the pick, LOL.
I can buy into it.
Position of need. While he doesn't quite get the sacks, he's right there all the time.
That's right.
So in about an hour time frame, you now love the pick? By the way, that you and every other fan last night with their team's pick.
That's hilarious. I think I over-exaggerated. I like the pick more than I did originally. And this is the thing. I was more disappointed at the player that they took. They took the right position. I'm glad that they went defense. And look, Shamar Stewart can pan out to be wonderful, but there's other guys that I think I would have taken, one of them being Mike Green, who's still available for whatever reason now. But look, in the end, I pulled a little bit of fandom. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch some of the evaluation stuff that people
have
done.
Talk yourself into it.
Brian,
you know?
Baldinger Classic. Really likes him. Baldy thinks he could be really, really, really good. It's just a matter of finishing up some things with his technique and how he finished his sacks. He had the most pressures on the team last year. Again, on a D-line that has Shamar Turner, Score In, himself. I mean, that D-line is loaded.
How late did you stay up? Because you did come in late today. Very late. Very. You said, you texted us and said, hey, guys, my bad. I overslept.
Yep.
Were you up like Bink watching the draft again till 3 a.m.?
No,
what happened?
I was not up till 3 a.m.
Blue Chew involved or no?
No Blue Chew.
Okay, I didn't know what's going on.
We were worried about you.
I forgot to set the alarm.
Just went to bed and forgot to set the.
He was so amped up about the draft, man. Forgot the normal routine, you know?
It happens to the best of us.
All right, let's.
I was just going to say, you just said some classic fan stuff that really made me laugh, which was. You know, he was really close to some sacks. I'm like, oh, man, you're down bad. You start talking about how close he got to the quarterback. I mean, he had
the most pressures. It's just a matter of finishing some things up.
Uh-huh. Trash of the day.
All right, this one takes us to, I believe it's Texas. Yeah, north of Austin, Texas.
Okay.
I don't know if any of you have been in one of these yet, like a true self-driving car. Any of us
on
the show?
No, I haven't.
We don't really have them around here, like the flat-out self-drive. It's more in bigger cities. Like maybe when we're in California, you'll see it or whatever next week or 2 weeks from now. But anyway, this has to do with one of the providers, the Waymo taxis. They have these in Austin. They have them, I think, in New York as well and in L.A., and these are those fully automated self-driving cars. Well, what happened here is the vehicle got stuck in the intersection, right? The car stopped in the middle of a lane underneath like a...
underpass or something?
An overpass. And they couldn't get out of the vehicle. Like, imagine you're in self-driving, vehicle stops. What are we doing here? All right, let me open the door and just get out of the car. Nope, locked. Stuck in the vehicle. They tried to contact customer service. Initially, that did not work. Video from within the Waymo shows the group arguing with live support agents as the screen prompt riders to exit now, all while this voice continually chimed in and said, vehicle approaching, because they're in the middle of a lane. So, like, they're in danger of getting hit. And eventually, they obviously got them out, but they were stuck for, I think it was 6 or 7 minutes. It's not a terrible amount of time.
Too bad. I thought you were going to say, like, 30, and then I was like, oh, no.
But does this change your feeling about getting in one of these fully autonomous?
Their company said, quote, Waymo riders always have the ability to pause their ride and exit the vehicle when desired. Passengers can exit the vehicle by pulling the handle twice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. You say that now. Look, my wife is a little hesitant about these. I don't think I'd think that hard about it. I'd probably get in one and not sweat it too much. I would not make it my permanent vehicle.
Oh,
right?
No, this is supposed to, yeah. Like,
if I were just in one, I don't know. If you and I were coming back from the bar, I'd probably do it. Now, they better not ask me for the tip at the end. That's like me scanning my own thing at the store.
Yeah,
like, I don't want you asking for 15% if the automated car drove me home.
Now, look, if I, like, we land in California here in a week or two. If you tell me that there's an automated taxi to take me to the hotel, I wouldn't hesitate to get in that, I don't think.
I mean, there'd be a brief part of me that was a little bit worried.
Because of this story?
Just because, like, it's the first time I would have ridden in. But no more, you know what I'd be more scared of? Let's just say, given the two choices. All right, Cody, you and I are flying to California to go watch Nick get married, and we're both getting in at one. And you have a choice, Gold. One of us has to take the other. You can either get in the self-driving car, or you can get in a freshly licensed car with a 16-year-old behind the wheel.
Oh, I'm taking the autonomous
ding,
car.
Ding, ding, ding! Yeah. Immediately, right? Yeah. Like, immediately. Yeah. So, like, no worse than when eventually my kids get a driver's license and I got to sit in the passenger seat watching them go through it. So... I feel like it's a worthy risk if you think about it that way. Probably less likelihood. I mean, more likelihood I get locked in the car, less likelihood I get in an accident.
What I don't like, though, is the idea that, like, literally they couldn't get out of the vehicle. Like, this is stuff out of a movie where it's like the technology takes over and you're stuck in your house or you're stuck in your car.
I don't know if you watched the show. Did you watch the show Silicon Valley?
No, I've heard of it.
HBO show.
No.
Really, really, really good. In an episode of that... an automated car gets stuck, but it, like, puts them on a shipping container, right? It drives it because it's supposed to get delivered somewhere, Gold. So, like, an automated car, like, puts them in a shipping container. He gets stuck on an island, you know?
Okay. Someone says those Waymo taxis are 3 times more expensive than using, like, Uber or whatever. Well, that's the case, and I'm out. Why would I just want to use it one time for fun? If, let's say, my Uber ride is 30 and this thing's going to charge me $90, well, I'm out. Why am I going in the auto
All the self-driving vehicle stuff, I'm out on all of it.
Just wouldn't get in it at all?
Not at all. Damn. Nope.
I mean, I'd like the technology to get a little bit further.
If it's three times the cost, I'm out. Am I going to pay three times the cost just for what would be a quick Uber trip?
I would want it to be less or the same. Like, it's not cool. I'm not paying for the novelty. I'll just let somebody else drive.
Maybe
me.
One
fine.
Time. I guess maybe one time. I
one
would
time
it.
On the way to the airport.
On a short drive or something.
In California, one time on the way to the airport, I was in like a hotel shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like one of those ones that'll take you to the airport with everybody. And that guy got in a wreck on the highway on the way there. I had to wait for a different shuttle to pick us up and almost missed my flight.
Well, that sucks.
And that was a regular person. It's not like the car is going to do any worse than that getting me to
Someone
the airport.
Said, self-driving car, I'm in. I hate those stupid effing conversations you're forced to have with the Uber driver. You can usually give a clue if you're in the mood to talk. Like, you can usually, like, they'll ask you something. If you give a short answer, you can, you know, then they pick up on the clue that maybe you don't want to talk the whole time.
You have to pull up the, hello? Hey, how's it going?
Oh, you're faking the phone.
That's worse. That's so awkward.
No, you just, you know, you be polite, but, like, you just don't continue asking questions within the convo.
I think we would be more fit than other, maybe anybody else. It'd fit us more. We talk about the radio. We do radio all the time. You just debate yourself and a topic, essentially. Act like you're on the phone. You can be.
The whole point would be you
I'd
don't want to talk
to the person.
Yeah, you don't want to talk. You don't want to fake talk.
I'd rather have an uncomfortable or like quiet conversation with a person than fake an entire conversation. That sounds awkward as hell.
All right, that's the trash of the day. Up next, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour and back into what Brett Veach was able to do on the back end of the draft. We'll also talk about the rest of the AFC West, which went running back heavy yesterday.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Reminder coming up at 1 o'clock today. Fan Club Friday Draft Edition. Joshua Briscoe going to join us, as he did throughout the season. He's going to join us to talk a little draft. Been a bit since we had Briscoe in studio. We'll talk his thoughts on Josh Simmons and, of course, what else could happen tonight. Rounds 2 and 3, and then Saturday, the final day of the 2025 NFL Draft. You guys can watch the show, as always, on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the shows. Makes it really easy. You could also text in 913-586-7965. That is the Jays Southland Tow Service text line. So the AFC West last night, we knew the Raiders had a top 10 pick, and the love that seemingly Pete Carroll had for Ashton Jeanty was true, right? There was the press conference that went viral a week or so ago where a reporter asked their general manager about Jeanty, and Pete Carroll leans into the microphone and says, "Hey, be careful talking about him." Like, okay,
he was serious.
Gamesmanship or whatever. No, they truly loved Ashton Jeanty. So think about what the AFC West did last night. Jeanty, running back to the Raiders. The Broncos did not take a running back. But the same running back everybody thought the Broncos were going to take, well, the Chargers took to go with the run-heavy scheme there with John Harbaugh. And then the Broncos go and add to a great secondary. They already have Pat Surtain, and they go out and get Jahdae Barron out of Texas. So it gives you an idea. You know, they're viewing it as, hey, we got all these weapons in our division now. We're just going to have a great secondary. While Surtain is great, down the stretch of the season, the Broncos' secondary wasn't quite as good. So they feel like they shore that up. And then, obviously, the two running backs. Those were the scheme fits. Think about the coaches that they have. Pete Carroll goes out and gets Geno Smith. They already have Brock Bowers. Now they have a difference maker at running back in their mind. And then the Chargers, Justin Herbert is there, but they're going to always be a little bit more run heavy than other teams just because of Harbaugh.
The only issue I take with it from is part of the conversation you and I had not that long ago where I'm like, hey, you guys don't have to do the same plan. You can have different plans. Denver is the only one doing a different plan this offseason. It seems like the Raiders and the Chargers approach is identical. And in my opinion, that makes it easier for the Chiefs to plan against you. Yeah, the fundamentally, like, you got different levels of quarterback, but you're like doing the same things. And if you're going to all do the same thing, the Chiefs, who already dominate this division, will have a chance to do it. Do I fear what Hampton, who you and I both think is a really good player, and Jeanty, who is a really good player, does this? Does it move defensive tackle?
Yeah, I do
slightly
think the Chiefs,
higher on my
I
list.
I do think the Chiefs need to get some defensive line help.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'll hear that out. But the key to beating the Chiefs, the only teams, and very few teams do it over the last 5 years, has never been the secondary or your running back. I'll just be honest. That has not been like the key to unlock it. Is how good is your defensive line and is it elite? The end. That's the list. Is your defensive line elite? And if it is not, okay, you can have those things. You can be more difficult to guard. You might beat us in a game even for the first time in a billion years. But do I fear you? No. My whole thing with Harbaugh, and I was thinking more about it. I said this on the show last night when I went on the draft show with Binkley and Chris Nocero. My biggest issue with Harbaugh, and I don't know if you guys agree, I'm actually kind of curious, is that Harbaugh is really good at winning. Like, I'm not denying, Harbaugh's a really good coach. He is good at winning. I think he's bad for quarterback development. I don't think he makes quarterbacks better. He's good about just making quarterbacks win. And that's, Herbert needs somebody to make him better. Like, it's not that he didn't get anything out of Alex Smith or get Colin Kaepernick to a Super Bowl. In a lot of ways, I feel like he wants more running. He wants to grind this thing out. I'm not sure that that's like the NFL championship model. No,
his style is like Justin Herbert. If you're looking for the crazy numbers, that's not going to happen with Herbert because of the scheme. We disagreed on this a couple weeks ago when you did bring up, like, you thought like the division's doing the same. I still push back. I don't think just because two teams in the division,
it's funny that they did
drafted a running back means like they're taking the same. I get what you're saying, but like just because all three of them could have drafted running backs, I don't think it would have meant that they all think the running back's the key to beating the Chiefs. I just think with where they're at,
their philosophies are just lining up very similar. similarly, so I kind of view it that way. But I mean, yeah, I get it.
But like what you just said about the Chargers, what they want to do offensively is not the same what the Broncos want to do offensively. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but the running back portion of it just worked out that way. The Broncos also had a need at running back. My guess is they're going to draft a running back tonight. The same way we talk about the Chiefs drafting one, they're probably going to draft one. The Chargers, a little surprising maybe, but because of the Najee Harris addition, you thought maybe they were happy with that, but they want to have a 1-2 punch in that backfield. And that's something that Harbaugh likes to have. So yeah, I mean the division I thought had a decent night though at the, you know, with the draft, you know, they're going to have to ultimately get great quarterback play and all that to knock off the Chiefs. But in terms of addressing needs and getting better in certain areas, I think the Raiders clearly did that at running back. That offense now has Bowers and Jensen.
You pick at six, you better get an impactful player, I'll say.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, the Raiders offense was 29th in football last year. They had to get more explosive offensively, and I think they did that. Does it mean they're winning 10 games? No, but
they got way better quarterback already.
Yeah, and then for the Broncos, you know, it's always weird. It's like, well, do they need to get any better in the secondary? They already have Pat Surtain. Well, it helps that if teams are trying to avoid Surtain now on the other side, you think maybe you got another difference maker there, you know, versus at running back. Like if you're the Broncos,
has a chance to be one of the better secondaries or at least cornerback duos.
Yeah. But I'm with you that I think how does this cause I don't think it causes the Chiefs to pivot, but it makes you look at defensive line and the need that we already knew existed, edge rusher, interior, and like you better be able to stop the run though a little bit. Like you're saying that's not why they've lost games, but also we have watched plenty of games at times where if a team can run all over them, it causes the game to be far more competitive and tight and puts way more pressure on your offense.
It just seems to have been the thing they were willing to let go defensively. Yeah. I'd have been more fearful if it were tight end, honestly, because that is a position
they didn't get Tyler Warren.
Yeah, exactly. That I would have been more fearful in a lot of ways if it was that instead. And look, I told you straight up, I did not think Tyler Warren would go behind Colston Loveland. I just told you I thought Loveland was as good as Tyler Warren. And apparently, the Chicago Bears agreed, everybody.
Yeah, I still don't get it. I still don't get it. Loveland before Warren is still pretty wild.
It doesn't bother me because I think Loveland's just as good. But I don't know if you saw, I think it was, God, I don't care. One of the NFL insiders, I'd give proper credit, but I don't remember which one it was, said that was the player that everyone was trying to trade up for or making calls for in the teens. And the second he went at 10, all the trade talk, because no trade happened between 10, that's when all the trade talk just got quiet in the 10, 11, 12. I just think Colston Loveland's a good. So would I have done that if I were theirs? Yeah, probably. Ben Johnson can make me look really smart, I guess, or, you know, vice versa, at least on that end. But the way it's fun for them. And they need weapons. Yeah. They think they got to score.
Tyler Warren, unfortunately, right now has either Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones throwing the football.
Yeah, I might look smart in year one, but I'll go ahead and reserve right on flexing if that's correct for, I don't know, 4 years down the road. Because Loveland, with their talent, might have his Kyle Pitts rookie year, and then I don't know what the hell's going to happen after. I did see a stat for part of the reason everyone thought they might go tight end. I didn't realize this. Ben Johnson's offense last year in Detroit ran two tight end sets, 30% of the time, the second highest in the NFL to the Chiefs. Love two tight end sets. So they ran a lot of two tight end sets. Now Cole Kmet and Loveland, they can just do that all the time again. The one part is like, Cole Kmet's a good player. I'm not saying he's like a superstar, but I mean, he's a good player. I know I use him as an example of...
you have used him a lot.
Mediocre. As not mediocre, as like average tight end play, or slightly above average tight end play. He's just, I don't know, easy name to remember, I guess. Is probably the short answer.
His best season is 700 yards receiving.
Whose pick did you like the best? Genty? You're a big Genty guy. Is that probably it? They're picking higher, so it's easier for him to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I like the pick. The only problem with it is because he was top 10 and the way he's been talked about, it depends on what's everybody's expectation. Like, if you think he's going to be a Hall of Famer, well, then you're not going to like the pick. If you think he's just going to be a stud, one of the top 3 to 5 backs in the league in terms of rushing yardage, well, then, yeah, I think that's what he can be.
For running back to work in the top 10, you have to be at least that.
Yeah.
It's got to be that. You got to be like the 1,500 all-purpose guy.
And I think he can be that. Now, like, if you said, well, you're going to be disappointed if he doesn't turn out to be, you know, Barry freaking Sanders or something, well, then, yeah, you're going to be really, you know, if he's not Derrick Henry, then you're going to not like the pick. You know what I mean? Like, then you're going to be disappointed. I don't think he's going to be Derrick Henry, but I also think he's immediately going to be a 1,200 plus yard back.
I think when you take, and I think pretty consistently, if you take a running back that high, they have to be one of the 5 best running backs in the league today. Like, yeah,
I think he might be. Yeah.
And he might. But like that, I mean, that's just straight up the bar.
Yeah.
I'll never say a player, no matter where they're taken, has to become a Hall of Famer. That is sometimes just aiming a little too high. Unless you take a quarterback 1-1, that should be your hope. Okay, fine. Cam Ward should be a Hall of Famer. If you take a quarterback 1-1,
I guess,
that's kind of the expectation. It's fine. But like outside of that.
In Tennessee, I'm sure the expectation is just going to be a top 5 or top 10 quarterback, please. That's all you're having. I mean, like if you told a Titans fan he was just a top 10 quarterback, I'm sure they'd be thrilled. Absolutely thrilled.
Oh, yeah, probably. But, you know, like if you're a top 5 quarterback for 15 years, you're probably a Hall of Famer. I mean, that's just like not all the time, but like if you're one of the better running backs kind of across the board, you consistently do kind of maintain that. But yeah, I don't know. It didn't really move the needle. Let's get back to Joshua Simmons, at least on that end. The Chiefs obviously selected their guy, 32 overall. The easy part of this conversation is we all love that they got a free 5th-round pick. They were going to take the linebacker the Eagles took. They got a 5th-round pick for not having to do that. Sweet. I mean, there's no even being. I don't even care if you dislike the pick. There's no way to hate that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only player I will break a number of my rules for. And so, yeah, I'm still really scared because I don't like redshirt players in the first round. Injury-prone players. I don't even buy into as much of the, like, they'd have been picked 7 if they were just healthy. Like, I even always think those are a little overestimated based on it. So, like, this is breaking some of my general rules of how I feel about the Chiefs and how they should use their first-round pick even at the end. And it's weird because the notion of, like, well, the Chiefs haven't found a first-round left tackle because you can't. It's impossible at 32, and now they might. Is like, I mean, I understand the injury is why they think they might have a chance to do it, which is why, again, it's very risky, again, that they might not have found it. I do it for tackle because I'm sick of looking at the same left tackles or different left tackles every year. They had to take a swing if they were ever going to fix left tackle. They might not, but they had to take a chance in order to have a chance to do it.
I know you don't agree with it, but I do think the difference is this year picking 31 ended up being 32. It had a situation where there was a tackle that a lot of people did believe Cody was a top 20 pick, but he was hurt. So he became available at 31 and 32. And as little as 24 hours ago, you and I both didn't think he'd even be there at 31 or 32. And he obviously was. And that's why they were able to get him. Yeah. Thought we were going to have to move up to get to 24 to get him. So clearly you even at least thought he was a top 25 pick, maybe at bare minimum.
I did. So, I thought somebody else would talk themselves into the medicals.
But the injury risk is real, of course. And they are banking on the work that Rick Burkhalter and their training staff did, that through recovery, where he's already at, and looking at the imaging, all that kind of stuff, we're expected to have a doctor join us coming up, sports medicine doctor Jesse Morse, around 12:30, by the way, to give us way more expertise on this. Obviously, we're not trying to claim we know all the details on that.
No, we're just looking at people like Chiefs, him say on the internet.
But the Chiefs are banking on that they've done their due diligence in a great way, and that this is a training staff that has a good track record in terms of evaluating draft prospects. Trey Smith, much different condition, right? We were talking about a heart condition there, but they evaluate and said, no, this. We can get the regimen here. We can make this work. Rick Burkhalter was with Andy in Philly, and I believe Buckholter had a patellar tendon injury as well. Different position, different person, but they were able to go through that. So they're banking on that. And if they were wrong in their evaluation, well, then it's going to be a disastrous pick. But if they are right and he can get back to what he was, then it ends up being a home run pick. That's the risk, but the reward element that we're talking about.
I mean, anything, if he's a starter level quality left tackle, it's a good, like, you want to talk about, you just mentioned with Ginty.
Yeah.
If he is a 6-year starter in Kansas City, a left tackle, it's a hit. Like, I'm not,
of course.
You didn't even have to trade up. Like, you just used pick 32.
They had 5 different left tackles start in 5 Super Bowls. If you're telling me that they had the same left tackle for 4 straight years, it's a big win, Cody.
My whole thing is, it really
or goes, right tackle, by the way, because there's a chance if Jalen Moore plays well this year and he actually starts the season there, Josh Simmons could eventually be the long-term at right tackle. We don't know if he's going to be a left tackle or right tackle.
No, and I don't think it would really matter if he was the starting right tackle for 10 years. It's still a success because you need help at tackle in the long term at both positions. The thing, like, again, normally, and you know this, I hated that with Felix. Like, oh, it's a project. Well, I hate taking projects at 32. It's stupid. Most of the time, I don't like it. I'm on Bink's side of, like, you're in the middle of a championship window, but at left tackle, tell me how they were going to get a left tackle without taking a huge risk. Either a Dan Moore level free agent signing instead of the small risk they took with Jalen Moore. So you either overpay dramatically, you trade up and give up first round after first round. Like, it's some kind of swing. The swing in this case is on the injury front. That's the risk they're taking. It was going to take some kind of risk one way or the other. That's why I'm okay with it. Yesterday before the show, I told you, I wasn't going to come in here and bang the drum and try to pretend like I'm all gung-ho on this. I'm not, like, A plus, plus, plus. I love this deal. Best draft pick they could have ever made. That's not who I was before this pick, but I'm okay with it. I'm comfortable with the decision they made to take this player for all of the reasons that we're talking about now and why I think they kind of have to do take those chances.
I still, for the next couple months, it's going to come up over and over and over, and certainly when we're up in St. Joe for training camp. Andy Reid last night said,
open competition between the three tackles.
Well, he said definitely ready for training camp.
Yeah,
he said definitely ready.
He's probably lying on that, but
I hope he's right, because that'd be incredible. Because I'll be honest, my whole thought, though, and I think all of ours when we were discussing Josh Simmons for the last 2 months, when mock after mock started having him, it was with the idea that he was redshirting for sure. And now in the last 24 hours, suddenly it's like, well, no, he's in both.
He's fine.
He's fine. And that came from the Chiefs last night. It also clearly came from the agent before the draft even started yesterday afternoon.
He got the Miyagi treatment sometime in the offseason, just rubbed his hands together and his knees.
So for me, if he's available in 2025, that's just an added bonus. This pick is about 2026 and beyond, as far as I'm concerned. And is he available? And is he effective? All of that. 2025, I can still see a scenario where you and I are there in St. Joe, and by the time it gets there, like, well, you know, we want to be a little cautious here. You know, he's making great progress, but yeah, he's going to open up camp on the pup list. And I mean, that should not stun anybody if that's ultimately what this ends up being. I hope not, right? Because again, great news if he's not, but I'm very skeptical still that he's available in 2025. And that doesn't mean it's a bad pick, because I always thought this pick was about 2026 anyway.
I will say this is going to be a huge swing in the Brett Veach draft legacy part. I think he's a good drafter. I think there's maybe only a couple of GMs who have drafted better than him over the last 5 years. I think you can make the argument for two or three. But if he whiffs on this, oh, they're going to bury him. And they're going to forget that he ever took Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis, who are good players, or Xavier Worthy, who looks like he's on a good path to be a good player. And all they're going to do is mention FAU and him. Like, if he whiffs on this one, they're going to bury him. They're going to bury him. I don't think it's fair, but I'm just saying, like, that's, yeah, I mean, that's coming.
I hear what you're saying. I think that it will be viewed as that, no doubt. I would also say, like,
and Clyde,
let's see what they do tonight. And how do those picks turn out, though? Like, 3 years from now, yes, this is pick 32. It's the headliner, right? It's the headliner. Mm-hmm. But they didn't trade up and give away 15 picks to make it happen. I'm guessing what I'm saying is, if it doesn't pan out, criticism for sure, 1,000%. But it doesn't mean the rest of the draft doesn't count. I guess what I'm saying is, but if you tell me in the same draft they found three starters and one ends up being an all-pro, then the draft is still a success.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but
I'm saying in the court of public opinion, not even the way we can look at it objectively, because we're probably talking about a conversation we're hypothetically having 4 years from now, or 2 years from now.
I don't think we're going to even see him play it down in 2025.
What is our expected hit rate, I guess, in first-round picks for any GM? Let's say for Brett Veach, let's say he's always picking between 30 and 32. That's all he's ever picked at this point. So you're picking between 30 and 32. What is your expected full-time starter hit rate, right? Like, they're at the very least, bare minimum, a important or semi-important starter for you.
Well, 50%, I would say some of the numbers are out there that tell you that. So 31% of first round draft picks from 2010 to 2019 signed a second contract. So that tells you a lot of busts. You're not getting a second contract. That's not a good sign.
He's picking at 31, so it should be like 25.
You know, 53% of first round picks based off of like just this comes from 33rd team as well. 53% of first round picks had what they score as an AV of 5 or higher per year, which means what they view as decent, but unspectacular career. So half of them have average careers.
So Brett Veach, if he hits at a 50% rate, would be I want him to hit better than the average, right? I'm not looking for a guy hitting the average.
I know, but you're asking the numbers. I mean, the picks 1 through 14 have an 80% success rate as 3-year starters. Drops to 60% for picks 15 to 25 and 50% for picks 26 to 32. Now that's a 10-year sample size.
Okay.
But in the last 15 years.
So you need to be
the sample.
In my opinion, you need to be in the grade above. If you're going to be one of the best GMs in the league, I need you at that 60% rate. Right now, what's his hit rate? He was his first round pick he ever took was Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because he didn't have a first round pick in the Breland Speaks year. He didn't have a first round pick the year after that. So the first pick he took, I think, was Clyde. So 0-for-1. He didn't have another first. This is his numbers are so low. Then he didn't have another first round pick. So 3 of the first 4 years, he didn't have a first round pick. The following year, 2-for-2. Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis, we agree, those are hits. Those are full-time starters in the NFL. One's a huge hit, but those are hits, so he's now 2-for-3.
And then Worthy.
66%. Felix Anudike, miss. He's 2-for-4 right now. And Worthy, it's like, I just, probably 3-for-5.
Yeah, I think it's a hit.
I think so. like, you know, this is like a year. I'd rather just, I guess, wait a year before I made a determination on it.
Yeah.
Like, because if I had told you, like, were the FAU was a miss after 1 year, you'd been like, too early to say miss, which I think is fair. So, like, I'll wait 1 year.
Because we
have
to see
sure.
anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, where they had 650 yards receiving, had a great postseason, I think it's probably a hit. I'd probably concede it if you made me choose one way or the other.
I guess what I'm saying, though, you asked the question, though.
So he's hitting at the rate I need him to.
He's hitting at the normal rate.
Yeah. He's hitting picking, slightly above the rate for where he's picking.
For where 60%. They're picking.
Yeah. Which is all I'm asking.
And they've won rings along the way doing it.
Well, yeah. But that's how they'll keep winning rings, right? I'm like, you know.
They're going to keep winning rings because rounds 2 through 5, they find starter after starter after starter. That's how they're going to get it done. And in this case, yeah, if Josh Simmons is a starting left tackle for 5 years or 5 or more years, then that also is how they prolong this. And they can address other areas in the next 5 drafts instead of having to spend another pick on a tackle. If you tell me that Jalen Moore plays well and Josh Simmons projects to be what they actually, he is what they think he is, well, then left tackle, right tackle is fixed for the next 4 or 5 years because they'll just give an extension to Jalen Moore. That's best case scenario stuff for them. We'll see if it actually pans out
Please.
That way.
What, yeah, Simmons dominates and so does Moore, and they just get both a contract. Now, that's a lot of money tied up in offensive line, I'll say.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending. Then let's talk more about the quarterbacks that were taken last night and the ones that weren't and what's going to happen this evening. That's coming up.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Next.